that Paul, as somewhat of their spiritual father, Paul had been in Corinth. Paul had personally come and brought the gospel to Corinth. Paul had formed this church when before there were no believers. And Corinth was a very difficult place to live, not only because of the sinful environment that was in Corinth, but Corinth in the first century was a very difficult place to live because you had a lot of different influences of people who were calling themselves Christians. And there were people who were coming who were teaching all kinds of stuff, claiming to be Christ followers, claiming to be saying what was true from God, but they were telling all kinds of stuff. And Paul is dealing with a situation where people that he loved were being influenced in bad ways. And so do you know what he does here in 2 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul, and he calls it foolishness. And he says, bear with me in a little foolishness. You know why he calls it foolishness? Because in Paul's mind, it's foolish that he should even have to do this. This is silly. I don't want to have to describe to you myself and why you should trust me. I don't want to have to tell you what it is about me that should lead you to trust me, but that's exactly what Paul does. In fact, the whole book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, is Paul showing the Corinthian church what it is about him that should lead them to trust Paul as the spiritual authority in their life. What is it about Paul that should lead the church in Corinth to look to him for spiritual leadership, to trust what he says, to let him teach them what it means to be godly when there are so many voices around them? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What is it about a man that would lead the people he is closest to look to him for spiritual leadership? What qualities give a man spiritual authority in the lives of others? What makes a man a spiritual leader? Is that important? Holy smoke. Men, you want God to use you in your families? Let me tell you the truth. Your children, and even maybe to a lesser degree our wives, but especially our children. Our children are faced with all kinds of different influences. Why would they follow you? Why would our children listen to us? Why would our children look to us as a spiritual authority in their lives? Why? What is it about a man that leads others to recognize him as a spiritual leader, as a spiritual authority in their life? That's a huge question, men. It might surprise you what Paul says, but that is what he is addressing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to know. I want to know what God's Word says are the qualities that lead other people to view you and trust you for spiritual leadership and authority in their life. I want to know that because I got four little folks who are dependent on that. Verse 1. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. Here he goes. He says, listen, I feel a little silly doing this, because I don't like to talk about myself, and that's really what he's saying. So I feel a little silly telling you, talking about myself, but that's what he's getting ready to do. Verse 1, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Here's his point. He says, man, my heart just breaks thinking about the idea that my people would be pulled away from Christ, that my people would be influenced away from following Christ. That breaks his heart to think about that. He's jealous for them.
Verse 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ.
Paul says, and listen, Paul writes all through his books. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write in a number of places, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. But right here, you know what he says? He says, I'm afraid. And do you know what he's afraid of? He is afraid of Satan pulling his people away. Of Satan bringing influences into his people. The people that God had given him to lead. Pulling his people away, he says, from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now, let's talk about that for just a second. What might happen to a church? What might happen in the middle of a family? What might be the danger in our homes? The danger is that our people would be pulled away from simplicity. Now, what is the opposite of simplicity? Let's just do, we've been talking about this on Wednesday night a little bit, how to study your Bible. You always got to know, the first thing that you do when you study your Bible is you make sure you understand all the words that are being used. He says, pulled away from simplicity. What is simplicity? The opposite of simplicity is complexity. Simplicity is the idea that, hey, listen, there are not that many factors involved in making a decision. A simple decision is kind of black or white. There's really only one or two options, and there are not that many factors in making the decision. When you broaden it out and you start thinking, oh man, well, there's this to consider and this to consider, and maybe what if that happens, and you bring in a whole lot of other options and a whole lot of other factors, and you make it complex. Paul is talking about who influences you. And when he says they might be pulled away from the simplicity of who influences you, let me challenge you with this thought. Following Christ is very easy. Following Christ is very easy because there is only one option, and it is right here. Following Christ only comes with one factor. Does God say? What does God say? The problem is that we start to consider, we make it a more complex problem than it really is. Well, I mean, that person wrote this book and they're pretty smart. I've gotten to know this guy and he's a really nice guy and he's been really kind to me and this is what he says. Well, okay, well, I mean, I see what God's Word kind of says over here, but I hear this voice over here, and I watch that guy and that guy's life, that looks pretty good. And I see this is what he's doing in his family, and that seems to me to be pretty good. Oh, and by the way, 10 years ago, I had this experience, and I tell you, what I think I learned from this experience is this. And you start making it complex. And you start adding in all kinds of different factors and all kinds of different influences. When Paul says, here's my fear is that you're going to be pulled away from the simplicity of following Christ. And by the way, what does simplicity of following Christ lead to? Purity. What's the opposite? You make it complex and you start considering all these other different factors and all these other different influences, and what else are you going to walk away from? You're also going to walk away from purity. Paul says, my fear is that your relationship with the Lord will become so complex that you're being influenced by so many different thoughts that you're also going to walk right away from purity. And you're not going to be following the Lord anymore. You're going to be influenced by whoever sounds the smartest today. And then tomorrow you're going to run into somebody else who sounds really smart and you're going to follow them. And then you're going to have this experience and you're going to think that's going to teach you this, and then you're going to follow that. And then you're going to read a book or an article and you're going to say, well, that seems really smart too. Maybe I should do that. Paul says, listen, my fear is that you will be pulled away from the simplicity and the resulting purity of just following Christ. How are we going to protect our people? How can we be as men? How are we going to protect our people from being pulled away from the complex, from the simplicity? How are we going to keep them centered right here? How are we going to be viewed in their eyes? Why would they look at us as the one spiritual authority that they need that points them to Christ when no one else will? What is it about our lives that they will see that will convince them? My dad. Yeah. I need to listen to my dad. I need to learn from my dad. My dad is pointing me to Christ, and that's the only thing I need. What is it about us that will lead them to see us as a spiritual authority? Paul, verse 4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit whom you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Here's Paul. He's recognizing, hey, church, you've had so many different influences come. And he says this sarcastically, you've borne that beautifully. What he means is, man, you've received all of these folks and listened to them, and they're telling you something completely different than what the Apostle Paul had taught them. They're preaching a different gospel than what the Apostle Paul had preached, and they're willing to accept it. They're willing to listen to it. They're willing to receive it. Let me tell you, men, the danger that our children will have is that they will be told all kinds of different truths that are different than what we are teaching them. Why would they listen to us? Verse 5. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. Paul says, you need to know, I am not inferior. I am not less than any of the other people who are speaking to you. I am your dad, and I might be 40 years old, but I know what the Lord is doing. Verse 6, but even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we've made this evident to you in all things. Okay, watch what he does. Watch what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is downplaying the importance of skill. The Apostle Paul is downplaying the role of skill in the spiritual leader's life. Let me tell you what happens. We are so impressed with rousing sermons. We are so impressed with men who can just light a fire every time they stand up. Oh! We are so impressed with men who have incredible ability to tickle the ears. The Apostle Paul says, I don't have that. Let me tell you something about the Apostle Paul that might surprise you. The Apostle Paul was a terrible preacher. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul was unable to communicate clearly verbally. That's what it says. The Apostle Paul had no skill in public speaking. He couldn't do it. This is not the only place that Paul mentions this. He mentions this three or four times in the book of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, he wasn't skilled. Let me tell you something. What is important for spiritual authority to be recognized is not skill. You do not have to be a gifted orator. You do not have to be a magnificent public speaker in order to be a spiritual leader. The Apostle Paul downplays the role of skill. He says, I don't have it. I'm not inferior, but I don't have that because that's not where it's found. Be careful, by the way. Let me just speak to the church for just a second. Be careful how much importance you place on speaking ability. Do not be fooled. Not everyone, and listen, and I'm saying this, I recognize this. I'm no Chuck Swindoll. I'm no David Jeremiah. I'm not. I realize that. I love those two men. Those two men have had great influence in my life. Largely, not because of their speaking ability, but largely because of their love for the Lord and His Word. That's what makes them significant. It's not public speaking ability. Verse 7. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything, I kept myself from being a burden to you. And will continue to do so as the truth of Christ is in me. This boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. What's Paul saying? In verses 7 through 11, Paul is communicating to them, I love you. God knows I love you. And in 7 through 10, how does he show them that he loves them? By sacrificing for them. The Apostle Paul comes to Corinth, and you know what? While he is there, he doesn't ask anything from the church. He never asks them to support him. In fact, he goes to work as a tent maker, supporting himself, and other churches are supporting him while he is ministering and serving the church in Corinth. He says, listen, I'm showing you that I love you by sacrificing for you. I'm not asking anything from you, but I am sacrificially giving to you. And Paul is explaining that to him. And that's a big reason why the Corinthian church should look to him and recognize him as the spiritual authority in their life. He didn't come asking stuff. These other guys, and when you read all of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you realize what's happening is there were men who were claiming themselves to be these super apostles. That's actually what the book of 1 Corinthians calls it. These super apostles, and they were gifted orators. Oh man, they could just melt you in their seat with their sermons. They could set you on fire. And they came with these rousing sermons. But they definitely wanted to pass the plate. And they definitely wanted to walk away from there blessed by the people who they had just been serving. Paul says, here's the way you know that I love you. I did none of that. In fact, I made sacrifices for you. I didn't ask anything of you. Men, how will your children know that you love them? How will your wives know that you love them? How will they know, you know what, my dad is in this for my good and not for his? Because they need to see you sacrifice for them. Can I be honest with you? there are a lot of men. In fact, it is a stereotype in our country that men require their families to sacrifice for them. Men require their families to sacrifice to support their hobbies. But what Paul is talking about, the characteristic of one who is recognized as spiritual authority, they do the sacrificing. Look, I will give up what I want and how I want to spend my time to give to my family, and they see me sacrificing. Let's keep going. Drop all the way down. We're running out of time. We got to keep moving. Drop all the way down to verse 21. Look at the middle of the verse. In verse 21, actually verse 21 is kind of placed badly. The middle of the verse is the beginning of the paragraph. He says, but. By the way, Wednesday nights. You guys on Wednesday nights. Anytime you see that word B-U-T, stop. It's contrast. He's contrasting something that went before it. Here's what he says. But in every respect, anyone else is bold. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, he says, I'm speaking foolishness. I'm just as bold myself. He says, I don't want to talk about myself, but here it goes. He says, verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm speaking as if insane. This is crazy. I shouldn't have to describe myself like this to you. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul says, do you know what my relationship with the Lord has been like? Do you know what has characterized my whole service for the Lord, my whole life for the Lord? It has been characterized by sacrifices I have made and hardships I have endured. He says, here's how you know that I have been serving the Lord, because I have sacrificed and I have endured. When you look at that list of sacrifices made and hardships endured, then you say, that guy is a servant of the Lord. Let me tell you what the alternative to listing out sacrifices and hardships are. The alternative is to list accomplishments and titles and invitations and accolades. Well, I've spoken at this. I've published this book. I've done this and I've been there. See, that's what makes somebody a servant of the Lord. No, it's not it at all. The Apostle Paul lists sacrifices made and hardships endured. And he shows that. He says, this is crazy. I shouldn't have to do this. But let me show you the sacrifices and the hardships that I have given to the Lord. And the Corinthians are intended to look at that and to say, Paul is the genuine servant of the Lord. Paul's different than everybody else around me. Everybody else around me obviously is in it for themselves, but not Paul. Paul is in this because he loves the Lord, and he is following Him and serving Him through all of that. Let me tell you, men, you want to be the influence in your children's life and in your family's life? You know what they need to see? They need to see in your life a love for the Lord that exhibits itself by a willingness to sacrifice and endure hardship because God called you to it. Now, most of us have never been beaten times without number. Maybe not all of us, but most of us have never been shipwrecked. I might be one or two of us have been shipwrecked, but probably not. Most of us in here never been stoned. And so we don't have that level of sacrifice. But I wonder how many of us men, I wonder how many of us, our children, see us getting up early and giving up 30 minutes or an hour of sleep so that we can learn from the Lord before the day gets started. I wonder how many of us, our children, get to watch us make sacrifices of our time and our money. And I wonder how many of us, our children, get to hear us say, hey, you know what? God's worthy of your resources. And you might not be able to buy this particular thing that you want because we tithe. I wonder how many of us, our children, get to watch our love for the Lord displayed in sacrifice and hardship endured. Do you see what he's doing? The Apostle Paul is painting for the Corinthians a list of qualifications that they should see in Paul's life, and they should recognize that right there sets Paul off as different from everybody else that's trying to influence them. And that right there should set Paul off and recognize him as a true servant of the Lord and worthy of spiritual authority and leadership in my life. It's not skill. It's not ability. But it is knowledge. He says, I'm not inferior in knowledge. It is knowledge of the Lord and of His Word. And every man, every single one of us, most likely every single one of us are holding a copy of God's Word right here. You don't need a seminary degree to understand God's Word. And so we know the Lord and His Word. They see our love for them displayed in sacrifice for them rather than us asking them to sacrifice for us. And they see our love for the Lord displayed in our sacrifice and enduring hardship for the Lord. They watch that played out in our life. And that will lead them to say, my dad's legit. Those other guys, they don't know what they're talking about, but my dad's legit, and I think I'll listen to him. Here's the thing. Men, listen to me. Men, this is a real temptation. Let me tell you what the real temptation is. The real temptation is to say, well, I can't explain God's Word. I don't have His gift of, you know, just talking and good things come out. I'm not very good, you know, at explaining things. Doesn't matter. Skill is not what does it. In fact, when you say to yourself, I'm just not too good at explaining stuff, neither was the Apostle Paul. Not verbally anyway. He could write a whole lot better than he could speak. But he couldn't talk either. And so he downplays skill. Men, you don't have to be this incredibly gifted speaker to lead your children to Christ. Men, you don't have to be a PhD in Bible exposition to open God's Word with your family and show them what you have learned from it. Men, you don't have to have a seminary degree to lead your children to see Christ for who He is and to love Him and His Word. But what you do need is a love for God and God's Word yourself. You do need a love for your children that leads you to sacrifice for them, and a love for your wife that leads you to sacrifice for her. And you need a love for the Lord that leads you to sacrifice and endure hardship for Him. And you know what? Those are the things that when our family sees that in my life, Those are the things that will lead them to recognize, yeah, I think I'll follow my dad on this. You see what he's doing? This is so far different than what we typically think makes a man a leader or gives a man credence as a leader. It's not skill, guys. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell the Lord short. You don't have to be skilled to open God's word with your family or pray with your wife. Know God's word. Let God's word teach you. Love your family. Love the Lord. And let Him empower you.
Verse 30. If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness.
Man, listen. God made me a dad. Why? I don't know. Why would God use me? I don't know. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. I can't do this. All I got. I love God's word, and I love my children, and I love the Lord. And God can take that like He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And feed my family. And He gets the glory because it's His power and His ability and His Holy Spirit. I'm just the vessel. Men, be encouraged. Be encouraged. God wants to use you like this. Father, God, I pray that we would recognize the way that Your Holy Spirit works. God, I pray that we would take courage, that we would lead our families to You. Pray that we would not be discouraged by any lack of skill. But God, I pray that our families would see in us a love for Your word, a love for them, a love for You. God, they've got to see that. And God, I pray that if in our hearts there is selfishness, God, if in our hearts there has been a neglect of You and Your word, God, I ask You to convict. Changes. And I pray that our children would see genuine love for You. And they would trust us and follow us. And You would bear fruit from our labor. And You would raise up boys and girls into men and women who are never deceived by sin and never stray away, but Father, follow You even in their youth. God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus. We thank You that it is because of Him at all that we can call You Father. It is because of Him at all that we can look to You and learn from You and understand Your word at all because of Jesus. In His name we pray.